We're living in a time where people make hasty decisions. People are quick to pledge something. How many times have we heard people say, well, hey, I'll give you a call back, or I'll let you know. And then no call back, no let you know. But a lot of times, people make these statements that they don't really mean, but because they know it's the appropriate thing to say, we say it. It's what people want to hear, so we say it. But it's not really what we mean. We have no intention of actually following up on it. How many know that God is not like that? That's not God. When God says something, He means it. And as God's people, what we say, we should mean. Let your yes be yes and your no be no. We don't have to swear to God because our word should be enough. We should be people of our word. God is not a man that he should lie, but his people should not lie either. Sometimes we've gotten to a point, I think, in our society where lying has become routine. Generally accepted, even people in the political system, our leaders lie all the time, think nothing of it. Some of them actually just live a lie. So we need to speak the truth in love. What we say, we should mean. If you tell somebody you're going to do something, then do it. If for some reason you can't do it, if something comes up, then you let them know, I can't do this. I can't make it. Out of respect. Come on, say amen. We should respect one another. We should be considerate of others. Amen, as believers. And if I'm going to say something and I tell you I'm going to do something, then I better do it. Or don't say anything. Or if something comes up or I can't make it, whatever, then I'll let you know. We need to be people of integrity, people of our word, people that are truthful, that speak the truth in love. Where people say, that's a child of God there, that's a follower of Jesus. I know that what they tell me is true. I can trust their word because not only do they tell me this, but they will back it up with action. A lot of times we come before God and says, God, I'm going to do this for you. I'm going to do that for you. But do we do what we say we're going to do? We say, I'm going to follow Jesus. Lord, I'm going to follow you. Do we follow Jesus? Does following Jesus just mean showing up on Sunday morning once in a while? Doing an event at a church thing? Is that following Jesus? God wants us to walk with him. He's not looking for people just to do stuff for him. But he wants people that will walk with him. That's what true Christianity is. It's walking with the Lord. A follower of Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus. No turning back. The Lord's eyes roam to and fro throughout the earth, looking for those whose hearts are loyal to him. He's looking for loyalty from his people. I have to ask myself this question. Am I a loyal servant of the Lord? Am I a loyal follower of the Lord? Can the Lord depend on me if he were to ask me to do something? Am I an obedient, loyal servant that will say, yes, Lord? Or do we just tell God we're going to do something and not follow up with it? You understand? If we're going to say something, if we're going to declare something or even confess something before God, if we're going to make a pledge before God, then we need to keep it. Amen? God always holds up his end of the bargain. He's a covenant-keeping God. He's a promise keeper. And as his people, we need to be promise keepers. We need to be faithful and loyal to the one who's called us. Jesus said it's better not to pledge. He said swear, but then to swear, you know, an oath before God and not do it. We've got people that stand up in our government, raise their hand and swear an oath to uphold the Constitution, but do nothing of the sort. You know that those oaths are binding. When I joined the military, I raised my hand and said, I swear to uphold the Constitution, defend it. Amen? And do you know that oath is still binding today? Now, when I get out of the Army, it's no longer relevant. If we can swear allegiance to the flag or to the Constitution, how much more should we be swearing allegiance to the God of gods, the God of creation, our Creator? I don't know about you, but I need to be reminded. I need to stay in the book. I need to stay in the mirror. I need to continue to see and hear and be reminded of what God has said in His promises, lest I forget. Israel was instructed to keep the Passover as a memorial so they would not forget what God had done for them and their deliverance out of Egypt. If we lose sight of where we're going, then we'll get lost. We need to have a vision. We need to have a focus. We need to have a course, you know, what we're going to follow. And if we don't know where we're going, if we don't have a goal, it's generally in life, if people don't have goals, they don't achieve anything. Would you agree? I mean, people that achieve are people that set goals. And they work towards that goal. The ultimate goal is to see Jesus that day and hear Him say, "Well done, my good and faithful servant." That's the ultimate goal, is to see Jesus and see a smile on His face and say, "Welcome home, son. Welcome home, daughter. You've been faithful. I've been waiting for you. Enter into the joy of your Lord." If we lose sight of where we're going, of the why we do what we do, then we'll get lost. We'll get misorientated. We'll get off course. We'll begin to spend ourselves, waste ourselves on vanity and things that have no eternal value. And so many, even in the church, are just bogged down with so many things, even good things. But even the good things can become hindrances. They can be weights, things that weigh us down in our race here. We really need to take an evaluation. I do. I need to do it often. Say, "God, what is it that you're calling me to do? What is the vision here? Where are you leading me? And is there anything in my life that I need to eliminate? Any way, even good things that in some way would cause me to miss the purpose of God? I want to be faithful to the end. I want to be steady to the end. The Lord is looking for loyalty in His people. God's not looking for us to do something, you know, on Sunday or Wednesday. Should we come together on Sunday and Wednesday? Yes, absolutely. We should be in fellowship, right? But it's not about doing events for God. It's not even about working for God, as we say. God's more concerned about your heart, your character, who you really are as a person, than what you do for Him. There's a lot of people that do things for God but aren't right with God. What God wants is for us to be right with Him. You know, someone once said, if a bank is breaking, you don't deposit in it. You don't get on a ship that has a hole in it. Amen? Because you know eventually it's going to sink. It's not going to make it to its destination. You don't get on an aircraft if it's got only half a tank and not enough to get to where you're going. You just don't get on it. You don't deposit your life into something That's not going to last. Don't waste your life on things that will not last. That's what Jesus is trying to tell us. Store up for yourself treasures in heaven. The thief's not going to be able to steal. Amen. The rust in the is not going to corrupt it. The moth's not going to eat it up. Store up for yourself treasure in heaven. Live for eternity. Don't be a fool in wasting your life in a world that's passing away. Wise people do not live for a world that is passing away. How many beside myself have played the fool at least once, right? Many times, and wasted many years of my life in just vanity. What really matters? Where is your treasure? That's where your heart's at. What you really value will be reflected in the way that you live your life. What you spend your time and your energy and your resources on will determine what you really value. Do we really value Jesus more than anything else? Do we value Him in the kingdom more than anything else? It will be reflected in the way that we live our lives daily. Not just what we do on Sunday, but how we live our lives. It will determine who we really serve. The greatest use of your life is to spend it in the service of Christ. You'll never regret the times you've given. There's coming a time we're going to see Jesus. Everyone's going to see Jesus. Amen? And in that day, it's not, well, Lord, wait right here. I'll be right back. I'm going to take care of some business now for you. No, once we see Jesus, that's it. Amen? You can't go back and redeem the time that is already gone. But what you can do is in the moment, in the now, in the day of salvation, in the day of God's grace and mercy, to commit yourself to Christ and His mission and begin to live for eternity, storing up for yourself treasures in heaven, but most importantly, honoring and blessing the Lord by bringing your return to Him. For all that He paid for. Amen. In blood He paid for souls. 1 John 2:16. Again, all that is in the world. The world there meaning cosmos. It's that the system that's in opposition or rebellion to God's will. Okay? We see that everywhere. You see it in the media. You see it in the news. You see it propagated in magazines and in books and in people's lives, a love of this fallen world, this system of Antichrist, that which is against Christ or in place of Him, as such as idolatry. The world cosmos is that system that's in place, that's in total rebellion and opposition to God and His will. Love not the things of this world, even the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world is passing away, and the lust of it. But he who does the will of God abides forever. Again, living our lives just to gratify ourself is just like boarding a ship with a hole in it. It's going nowhere. There was a song back in the 80s by the Talking Heads, I'm on a road to nowhere. And you know what? That is exactly my life before. I was on a road going nowhere. And actually, I was going somewhere. The way of self-will is the way of destruction. Amen? It's the way of hell. And Jesus came to deliver us from ourselves and from our ways, to bring us into His kingdom, amen, to reestablish us as sons and daughters, to walk with Him in the new life that He made possible for us. And also we could also be partakers of the divine nature, and we can share in the glory of Christ together, amen, and be co-laborers together with Him and have, amen, a share in the kingdom of God. Jesus said, it's your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. God wants to share His kingdom with us. Hallelujah. When we understand and live out the will of God for our lives, it will deliver us from the temptation of passing things. So, if I occupy myself with the will and the purpose of God, I am seeking the Lord's face, I am seeking Him daily, discovering what the will of God is in my day, amen, committing myself to walk with Jesus. That in itself, when I'm active for the Lord, when I'm walking by faith, amen, which is an action, I'm walking together with Jesus, serving together with Jesus. When I do that, it delivers me from the temptation to spend myself on vanity, on empty things. The enemy wants you and I to be so preoccupied with lesser things that we forsake the superior things of God. Because he's a thief. He wants to rob you and I of our inheritance. That's why Jesus said, be deliberate about it. Be deliberate about it. Store up for yourself treasure in heaven. Live for that. Amen? We grew up not too far from a town called Northfield, Massachusetts. And there is, it's the home of D.L. Moody. How many have heard of D.L. Moody? And we were like 10 minutes away from. There's a school there, it's just no longer open, but this was he was a great evangelist, and inscribed on his tombstone, he had that verse, he who does the will of God abides forever. This is a man that lived out the will, the purpose of God. And you know, I started to chuckle when I thought about this, but I had the question, what do you want on your tombstone? You know, and certainly I don't want pepperoni and mushroom, right? I want to know, amen, that my life has been well spent, well lived. I have lived my life for the purposes of God, amen, the eternal purposes of God, that I have not allowed that enemy to rob me of my purpose by distracting me with lesser things. Jesus taught us what it is to walk with the Father. My life needs to look more and more like Jesus. I want to live like Jesus. I want to walk like Jesus. I don't want to just add things to my life. I want to be transformed into his likeness. Someone said obedience is the response that keeps the dialogue going. Obedience is the response that keeps the dialogue going. I'll say it one more time. Obedience is the response that keeps the dialogue going. When God is speaking to us, when God asks us to do something, what is our response? Not now? Maybe? No, not interested. How many of us have been asking God to, Lord, reveal your will? Some people have been doing it for years and years and years. Lord, what is your will for my life? And God has already shown you in a daily basis, these are some things I want you to do. And we're not doing that, but we're asking God to give us the bigger picture. Obedience is the dialogue that keeps, amen, that keeps the dialogue going. If we want to continue to hear and to bear fruit, we're going to have to abide in him. We're going to have to continue in him. We're going to have to listen to the voice of God. Israel was brought into the wilderness for what reason? That he would humble them and even cause them to hunger. That they may know, right, that man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. God wanted to teach Israel how to hear his voice, so that they could possess the promise. You're not going to possess the promises of God if you're not obedient to the voice of God. And he doesn't ask you to do something, amen, that's so great that you can't do it. God gives you little assignments. God gives you little responsibilities. How about just praying for somebody, amen, when God puts somebody on your heart? How about talking to somebody, amen? How about cheering somebody up? How about being available for somebody, amen? Just loving people, loving one another. This is the great commandment of all. All the laws fulfilled in that, that we would love one another. We were to walk in that. If you and I want to hear the voice of God, are you hearing this? Then we need to start obeying God's voice. Well, let me give an example. If you tell your son or your daughter, your responsibility is to take the garbage out. Okay? Now, they're wanting you to go out and buy them ice cream or something, okay? But you gave them an assignment to go and take the garbage out. Well, if they're good, they're obedient, they listen, they obey your voice, amen, then there might be this other benefit that'll come along with that. Are you hearing me? This is just how it works. God is going to give you a responsibility, an assignment to do something for Him. And if you're faithful in that, He can increase that in your life. He can give you more. God wants us to grow up and take responsibility. And a lot of us, we want to be leaders or we want to be great for God, but we're not learning the basics of simple obedience on a daily basis of listening to the voice of God and doing the thing that He's put before us, the little task. How about just going to work and being a responsible employee, right? Amen. That being faithful in least. How about being good stewards over the finances that God gives us? Being faithful to give, amen, and to share, and to obey the Lord in our giving. Amen. We're saying, God, give me more. Well, if you're not faithful in what you have, I'm talking about, generally speaking, we want more of God. We say, God, give me everything you have. I want more of you. Well, God says, I need more of you. If you want more of me, you're going to have to give me more of you. To the level, to the degree that we have faith, that we believe, that we trust, that we're willing to entrust our lives to Him. That's the capacity that God can fill us. You understand that God wants His people to be full of the Holy Spirit. Full of the Holy Spirit. But you know what? We've got to be willing to yield and open and allow God to have that access to our lives. We've got to be willing to listen to the voice of God if we want to hear Him more and more clearly. Sometimes the problem is that God has been speaking, but we were not listening. And God says, you go take care of that thing I told you to do first. Maybe there was an offense. Maybe somebody got their feelings hurt. And you need to go make reconciliation. And yet we want to go on with God, but I'm refusing to forgive because I'm upset with them. God says you're not going to go another step further. I can't take you forward until you first resolve that issue. Part of your development as a child of God is to learn the grace of forgiveness. So you're going to have some offenses. You're going to have to learn to navigate through some of this. You're going to learn how to actually show grace to someone who doesn't deserve it. Just like God did for us. So we want to go on, and sometimes the reason why we're not going and we're in a holding pattern and we're not going anywhere is because we're not listening to the instruction of the Lord for what He has us to do today. And yet we want God to tell us more. Obedience is a response that keeps the dialogue going. Oh, I've got someone here that will listen. I have a loyal servant. Deuteronomy 8:3, so He humbled Israel. He allowed them to hunger. And He says, and I fed you with manna, which you did not know, nor did your fathers know. God had to take Israel out of everything that they knew, everything that was familiar. He had to wean them off their ways and the ways of the Egyptians. And so He brought them out to a place that was completely unfamiliar to them. into new territory. But God's will was not that they would stay there, but that they would enter into his promise eventually. Amen? So he fed them with just a meager meal every day of manna. Why? Because he didn't want them camping out there. He wanted to take them somewhere. You ever wonder why God didn't provide prime rib? Sounds good to me, right? Well, they wanted the quail, right? They started craving for the meat. But see, God was trying to do something in them. And they were rebelling against that. And they even began to accuse Moses that he had actually taken them out. Even though they were in bondage, they're accusing Moses of taking them out of the land flowing with milk and honey. In a sense, it would have been better for us to remain in Egypt. Did you bring us out here that we might all perish in the wilderness? You know, Dathan. But God's purpose was to take them through that place into a promise, into a place where they weren't just gathering daily, but to a place that was flowing freely in his abundance, an overflowing, abundant life. Do you see that today? God wants you and I to enjoy the abundance of all who he is. His abundant life. He didn't come to take it away. He came that we might have that life and to the full. But it requires an obedient heart, a heart that is learning to navigate by the voice of God, that when the Spirit of God is moving, I'm moving. When he's settling, I'm settling. Amen? God wanted Israel to hear his voice, but many would refuse to listen because they wanted to go back in their hearts. They didn't want to go through something so that they could become something. Sometimes we're trying to rebuke our way, pray our way out of a trial or a situation or a period of time in our lives that God is bringing us through, so that he can develop our character and make us strong, amen, in him, and a steadfast individual. And a lot of times, we're just looking for the quick fix. And if things get a little hot, a little heated up, then I just want to run away from it, and I don't want to confront it. But guess what? You're going to run into that same wall somewhere else. You're not going a step further until you start to learn to listen to the voice of God and obey the last instruction he gave you. Did God tell you to repent? Did God tell you to turn away from that? Did God tell you to quit smoking and quit doing this and quit doing that? Are we listening to him in that? Come on, somebody. Did I make anybody mad yet? I'm working on it. But I love you enough to tell you the truth. Are we willing to be obedient to God in whatever he says? Or are we going to approach God as kind of like, well, I'll pick a little of that and I'll pick a little of that. Oh, God, I don't like that. Thank you very much. Let me spend some more time in a dessert aisle over here. Man, we need everything that the Lord has for us. But you can't receive from God if you're not willing to listen to God. See, a lot of times we say, I want everything God has for me, but I also want this. And I also want that. Some of the things that God says, and you can't have that. It's not good for you. We want everything God has for us, plus some of these other things. And these are the very things that prevent you from receiving what God has. Are you hearing me? The Holy Spirit's not going to cohabitate in a dirty vessel. God wants pure hearts. Jesus said, humble people are the ones who listen to the voice of God. Why did God take Israel there? He humbled them. Humble people are people who know that they need God, that they need to hear and navigate by his voice. Humble people are people that are willing to submit their will to the will of God. It's not weakness, it's strength that's under restraint. It's me saying to myself, you will bless the Lord. You will pray. You will read the word. You will witness. You will obey what God tells you to do. I tell myself what to do. Come on, somebody. It's called self-control. And the Spirit of God gives you the ability to take charge of your life and do what God has told you to do. But He's not going to do it for you. He's telling you to do it. In cooperation with the Holy Spirit. Joining together, yoking together, walking together with Jesus, we're going to get it done. But God's not going to do it independent of you. Are you hearing me? If you don't decide to obey and follow and walk with Him, God will choose somebody else. Humble people listen to the voice of God. Another thing that God caused Israel to do is hunger. Hunger. People that are hungry have a sense or a need to be filled. I have a sensed need that I need God. I tell you what, without Jesus, I'm like a hollow shell, man. I get real thin-skinned. I can easily get defeated or discouraged or beat down if I don't stay filled up on God. If I don't stay connected and obedient to God, then I'll easily just be swayed by the opinions of men and by the pressures of the world. I need God. I'm hungry. I'm thirsty for Him. So God allows that in us. He weans us off those things that we were filling our lives with so that we will have a desperation for His presence. Because everything that we can accomplish with any eternal value flows out of God and not out of us. It's by His Spirit. It's not by might nor power, but by My Spirit, says the Lord. God wants a humble, obedient, loyal people. Amen. And those people are going to be hungry because I know that in myself there's no good thing. In myself I'm not able to accomplish the will of God. What God has called me to do is bigger than I am. And the only way to do what He's called me to do is I have to humble myself and I have to tell myself, get out of the way. Amen. Let Jesus, hallelujah, fill you. Let Jesus govern you. Let Jesus lead you and guide you daily. Listen to the voice of the Lord. If He's telling you to do something, I don't care while crazy it may sound, sometimes God tells people to do things, many times, amen, that don't make logical sense. We're not to function according to our logic, but according to the Word of God. Hallelujah. Fill those water pots, those wine pots with water, right? Well, you put wine in wine pots. You don't fill wine pots with water. And what did Mary say? Whatever He tells you to do, do it. That's how we need to live. Whatever He tells you to do, do it. The miracle wouldn't come unless they did it His way. They probably could have gone out and ordered some cheap wine somewhere. But God wanted to perform a miracle. He said, fill them with water. Okay. All right. Fill them with water. And there came the miracle. A self-satisfied person cannot receive the things of God because we're satisfied with us, with our will and our way. But when we're done with our way, and I've talked to people, many people, and I know that they're authentic, they're genuine saints. We were just talking to Mark the other night, amen, about how you finally came to the place where you said, I'm just tired of myself and tired of my ways. God brought you to that place. That's the right place to be. Amen. Where you're done with you. When you're done with you, you're ready for the will of God. And a self-satisfied person cannot receive the abundant life of God because they're filled up on their own things. Come on, somebody. Has anybody beside myself tried to fill yourself up on worldly things, even as a believer, only to find out that you're not satisfied by it? How many know that's the grace of God at work? He's revealing to you that these lesser things are never going to satisfy. The things that I used to like to do, they do nothing for me anymore. When you're born again, things change. Desires change. You start wanting the things of God, desiring the things of God, desiring the will of God, desiring to hear from God, desiring to be obedient to God. Yeah. I've used this illustration many times, but it's very true that a person who's used to junk food doesn't immediately desire good food. That was Israel. They were used to the junk food life, amen, in Egypt. And God was raining down something that was eternal. Amen. It was that bread of heaven, which represented Christ. But it was strange to them. They said, "What is it? Manna, what is it? It's different. Kind of sweet. Coriander seed," they say. If you fill yourself up, even as a believer, on junk food, you're not going to be hungry for the real food. You're not going to have a hunger for the Word of God, amen, for the things of God, if you're filling yourself up on the things of the world. And as you try to fill yourself up on the things of the world, you're going to find that they do not satisfy you. Why? Because God wants you to know that man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. His voice is life to us. His words are life-giving to us. We are nourished by the Word of God. We feed. We internalize the Word of God. And we are sustained for the mission of God. We are encouraged. We are empowered by the Word of God. Are you hearing me, somebody? Because I'm not filling myself up on the lesser things. I'm filling myself up on the eternal. If we lose sight of where we're going, we'll get lost. In Hebrews 11 and 24, Hebrews chapter 11, verse 24, it says, "By faith, Moses, when he became of age, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the passing pleasures of sin, esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt. For he looked to the reward." He looked to the reward. He saw beyond the temporal. He saw something eternal. He saw that loyalty to God and love for God's people was of greater value to him than all the combined wealth of Pharaoh of Egypt. Here's a man that had everything. How many people have everything and are so empty? Moses came to a place, he says, "Well, I've got everything here, but something's missing." And he saw something in God's people that he wanted. He saw something of eternal and superior value in the will of God rather than the temporary pleasures of Egypt. He wanted to be loyal to God and he loved his people. And again, wise people do not live for a world that is passing away. Now, as I'm speaking today, the Lord is dealing with many hearts today. I believe it. God deals with my heart too, by the way. Because he loves us. Because he has something that is so much better than what the enemy, the devil, wants to present to you. He baits everything. He makes it look so pretty. He puts everything in pretty packages. Amen. You go down to the casino and everything is so pretty. Bells and whistles and colors and wow. How many know there's a lot of tears being shed over those machines down there? Man, people losing their savings and their retirements, and somebody's laughing on the way to the bank. And it's most of the people that are playing those machines aren't. But that's what the enemy does, is he entices us with things that have pretty packages, but they're really rotten on the inside. God wants to humble us so we can learn just to obey his voice. We can hear his voice and obey it. John 1:1 says, "In the beginning was the Word. And the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Look at verse 4. In Him was life. In Christ was life. And the life was the light of men. Jesus is the Word. In the Word of God, there is life. Outside of the boundaries of God's Word is death. Adam and Eve stepped outside of the boundaries of God's Word, and death was the result. Are you hearing me? To abide in Jesus means to abide in His Word. To abide in Jesus means to listen to His voice and to continue with Him. Are you hearing me? My sheep hear My voice. Amen. To refuse to listen to God is to embrace death. They said, Lord, where can we go? You have the words of eternal life. Jesus said, these words I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. They impart life. We are to live. We are to internalize the Word of God. We are to consume. Amen. And God's voice is what quickens us. When we hear the voice of God, amen, through the reading or through the hearing of the message, it quickens something inside of us. His Word is life. In Christ is life. So if a person is not in Christ, they're already in death. We're born separated, aren't we? Yeah. And so Jesus came to restore us to fellowship again with the Father, to reconnect us to the Father, to reconcile us back to God, so that we could come back into life. When Adam and Eve disobeyed the word of the Lord, they ended up in death and in separation. Jesus came to reconcile us, to bring us back into that relationship, and also to give us His Holy Spirit so that we can know the things freely given to us, so we could hear His voice, so we can know the heart, the mind of the Father. And so whenever man steps outside of God's Word, there's death. Have you ever noticed that even in your own life? Even as a believer, we are sustained, we are kept by the Word of God. Amen? Everything is held together by the Word of God, including us. The Word of God is our life. The Word of God is our bread. It is what nourishes us. It's what strengthens us. It's what's enabling us, amen, to do the mission of God. But we have to learn how to listen and how to obey. Why? Because God is looking for loyal ones. Those who said, Lord, I have decided to follow You. I've lived for myself. I've lived my own selfish life. Now I'm going to start living for You. God sees the heart. And when a person is truly repentant, He will meet them there. You know, God's not fooled by jailhouse conversions. You know what I'm talking about? Good behavior conversions. Yeah. Jesus said in John 15:4, abide in Me and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in Me. John 15:10, if you keep My commandments, you will abide in My love, just as I have kept My Father's commandments and abide in His love. These things I have spoken to you, that My joy may remain in you, and that your joy may be. Did He not come to give us an abundant life? Was it not God's purpose to bring Israel out of that fiery wilderness, amen, into a place that was flowing, amen, with the provision and the blessing of God? Yes, but they had to learn to hear the voice of God. They had to start listening to the instructions of God. You and I must listen to the voice of God and obey the voice of God in order for us to receive the promises of God. Are you hearing me today? You want to get into the place of rest? It's going to start by obedience. As long as we're disobedient, there's no rest for your soul. There's no peace with God. Amen? If I'm in rebellion. Well, so God, in His mercy, He knows how to humble us. Nobody likes that. But it's good for us. God knows how to humble us. God's trying to get us over ourselves. So it's no longer about me, but it's about Jesus. It's not what I can do, it's what Jesus can do through me as I humble myself and allow Him to work through me. I have to get out of the way so He can work through. Are you hearing me? I can't be full of my own ambitions. People get into ministry a lot of times because they have some kind of selfish ambition. You know? God even had to deal with me earlier on, you know what I'm saying? He had to deal with me earlier on because I did have some selfish ambition when it came to ministry. You know? I saw these other great pastors doing this and these evangelists doing all this stuff. And instead of saying, well, I want to do this because I want to bless Jesus back. I want to love God back. I was thinking, man, that would be cool to be them. You know what I'm saying? I used to play music in the world, you know? And my motivation for a lot of that was, let's get famous. Let's have all the money and all the accolades. And, oh, aren't you great? And when you hear my playing, you know that was never going to happen. But you know, the motivation, you know, was not of God. It was selfishly ambitious. I was selfishly ambitious. So God wants to wean His people off selfish ambition so that we are serving Him not because, you know, we're trying to make a name for ourselves, but because we want to bless the Lord. We want to make a name for Jesus. We want to make Him famous in the earth. That's what it's about. Hallelujah. And if I can get out of the way and humble myself and start listening to God and taking steps of obedience, God will increase what He's entrusted to me. Why? Because God gives His grace to the humble. God gives His ability to those who have humbled themselves, but He resists the proud. And as long as I'm proud and if it's about me, amen, I'm not going to have what God wants for me. Ooh. Ezekiel chapter 3, verse 1. Moreover, He said to me, Son of man, eat what you find. Eat this scroll and go speak to the house of Israel. So I opened my mouth and He caused me to eat that scroll. And He said to me, Son of man, feed your belly and fill your stomach. Feed your belly and fill your stomach with this scroll that I give you. So I ate, and it was in my mouth like honey and sweetness. Then He said to me, Son of man, go to the house of Israel and speak my words to them. You know, isn't that interesting? That in order for the prophet to be able to speak the words of God to the people, he had to first consume or internalize the word. You see, sometimes we're good at going through the word, but what we want is the word to go through us. We've got to internalize the word. We've got to get it in our spirit. It's got to go from the head, amen, to the heart. David said, in thy word have I hid in my heart that I may not sin against thee. We have to internalize it. We have to consume the word. We have to eat it. And only when we receive the word of God are we receiving Christ. Hear me. A lot of people say, oh, I received Jesus. Well, did you receive His word? You can't say you received Jesus and not receive His word. Because He is the word. So we need to receive Jesus by receiving His voice. Listening to the Word of God. Faith comes by hearing the Word of God. Hallelujah. So when people rebel and refuse the Word of God, do you understand? You're actually rebelling and refusing Christ. It's getting quiet. Do you understand? Jesus came to dwell in us. He abides in us as we abide in His Word. We receive the Word. We treasure the Word. We love the truth. Even when it hurts so good. I want the word. I want the truth. I don't want the lie. Many times people get mad, they get upset, and they, I know, I meet them sometimes, I can look it on their face, they're mad at me because, you know, they were speaking to me. Well, praise God, he was speaking to you. It wasn't me. Usually I don't have a clue, I'm just the paper boy. But God is trying to get our attention, he has something better, superior, eternal. Let's go for that. Let's live for God. Let's live for the King. Let's serve Him. Let's commit ourselves, humble ourselves, and let God use us as a vessel, amen, in this world. Soon and very soon we're going to see the King, and one life is soon going to be passed. And only what's done for Christ is going to last. Store up for yourself treasures in heaven. Receive the word of God. Be willing to listen to the voice of God and say, God, I'm going to seek your face. I want to know your voice. I want to be led of your spirit because your word is life to me. I want to internalize it so that I can be a vessel that you can pour out through. Yes, Lord. Amen. John 6:57, as the living Father sent me, Jesus said, I live because of the Father. So he who feeds on me will live because of me. He who feeds on me will live because of me. He who feeds on me will live because of me. This is the bread which came down from heaven. Not as your fathers ate the manna and are dead. That was only a type and a shadow of the fulfillment which was Christ. But he who eats this bread will live forever. Do you receive Jesus today? Have you received the Lord? If you've received the Lord, it means you received his word. You receive his word. You feast on his word. You embrace his word. Even when it hurts, you say, thank you, Jesus. I needed to hear that today. And wise people, amen, will become even more wise. And wise people do not live for a world that's passing away. And if the bank is breaking, don't put any more money in it. Amen? This world is passing away. Are you hearing me? Don't invest all yourself and your energy and your time to just the temporary things of this world, because before you know it, how many are with me today that your life is going so quickly? I'm saying, man, another year has gone by and it seems like everything is just going so quickly. How many know that today is the day of salvation? Today is the day to give your life to Jesus. Today is the day to serve the Lord. Don't wait for your retirement years. Because if you're not serving Him now, chances are you won't in your retirement years. Just serve Him today. Say, Lord, what can I do for you today? How can I love you back today? Lord, open doors, open opportunities for me today. Show me what I can do to make a difference in this world so that I can bear fruit unto eternal life and that I can glorify you and I can bring you pleasure. Yeah. It is the Spirit who gives life. The flesh profits nothing. The words I speak unto you are spirit and they are life. We need to eat the word. Consume the truth. Fill our lives. He said, fill your belly. In other words, feed your spirit. Let this word get in you, amen. You should be in discipleship. You should be in Bible study. You should be in Sunday school. You should be every chance you get. You should be in the word and joining together with other believers to get the word in you. Are you hearing me? So you're not just getting bits and pieces of here and there, but you're actually consuming the truth that is transforming your mind, and your thinking is now coming into agreement with what God's will is for you. And you're filled with the knowledge of the will of God. Thank you, Jesus. Let's get over the event mentality. Let's quit just doing events for Jesus. Let's start living for Jesus daily. Just not doing a thing on the weekend. Are you hearing me? But let's get together as often as we can, yes. But let's live for the Lord. The early church, they met daily. Breaking of bread and in prayers from house to house, they met. A gladness of heart, amen. Just continue to stay connected to one another, to the body, to the life of God that's flowing freely through the body of Christ. Yesterday at men's breakfast, we had an amazing time of sharing. People were coming out. They were speaking substance. It was a great time, but we were imparting something to one another. We were sharpening one another. Amen? The testimonies and the revelations that God gave people that they were sharing with the others, it was all working together to build up, to edify, amen, the body of Christ. That's what God's heart is. I really want you to consider what you've heard today. Not just to say, well, that was a great message, but to really internalize it and say, I need to receive this word because this is a word from the Lord. God is calling me. God is calling you.